Okay, it is my privilege to share what God has downloaded to me over the weeks about this topic. But before I go into it, I thought that I would spend some time to formally introduce myself to the congregation this afternoon. Because sometimes you see me on stage doing announcements, sometimes you see me doing prayer, and also who is this person, and what am I doing in 11:30. So allow me to share. Ta-da! Okay, a bit about myself. Okay, so I am Singaporean. You know, our congregation, we are very multinational. So I thought I should declare my nationality as well. Yeah, because people may guess, oh, is this, is she from, don't know. Yeah, I look Japanese, you know, people speak to me in Japanese. So, yeah. So, yeah, I'm Singaporean. And I come from a family from a Taoist and ancestral worship background. So visits to temples is a norm when, as a young child. But the year 2007 was quite an impactful year for me. In 2007, I graduated from Nanyang Business School. And it was that time where a senior in my school actually invited me to St. Andrew's Cathedral and also to her Connect group at that point in time. And so by profession, I was in HR and change management consulting. And for the last 7 years before I came on board as staff, I was doing change management in the IT industry. So I received Christ. So shortly after I graduated, I came here. Then following year, 2008, during Chinese New Year, I received Christ into my life. And in that same year, I volunteered in a camp that is meant to minister to abused and neglected children. And that really, really changed a lot about my perspective of life. So in this camp, we minister to a group of children between the age of 7 to 12. And the objective of the camp is to build positive memories to them and tell them that you are worthy of love. That's based on our God's word. So I volunteered for 5 years in this camp. And in 2 years, we actually partnered with a church in Hong Kong to run it for the children there. So on your top left, you will see that that's the team from Singapore, Hong Kong, and Japan. Yeah, and we are a bit crazy because we just celebrated everybody's birthday for the children. And so, yeah, that was the picture. Yeah, so then why do I share this part? Because volunteering in this camp actually opened up two areas in my life for me. One, during my baptism and confirmation class, when my group mate actually asked she knew that I was volunteering in this camp, and therefore when 9 a.m. service was looking for Sunday school teachers, then she asked me, would you be keen to come and teach in Sunday school? So I said, okay, no problem, I'll come. Yeah. So that was one. I started my service in church only after through a camp outside of church. Then let me zoom back to the camp. So during the camp, there will be quite a number of children, between 30 to 40 children coming, and we are 5 days intensive staying in together with them. So I will never remember, I will never forget this day where a boy, he was 10 years old, and he came to me and said, Jeje, I'm going to leave camp now. That was in the middle of the camp. Then I was asking him, why, what happened? Why do you have to leave camp? And then he said, because I need to appear in court. Something happened, and this boy needs to go to court and stand trial. Then that got me thinking again. At 10 years old, I don't know what you were doing. At 10 years old, I was okay. Other than school, I was quite happy playing games and everything else. But never in my life would I be thinking that I'll be appearing in court. But this boy, at 10 years old, had to go to court. So I wonder why, at such a young child, such a young age, this child has to go through that. And so I asked God, God, what can I do more for the children? He told me, go to the families. You're asking a HR profession to go into the families. How is that going to happen? And that was why I chose to also go into further studies into counseling. And there you can see on the bottom right, I just graduated this year, and a few of you were invited to my graduation ceremony. My story doesn't stop there, but serving in Sunday school also showed me that, you know, there are many, many needs within the church. So last year when I really couldn't cope with my life anymore, life in general, meaning to say that I was running, I was doing ministry, I was doing my studies, and on top of studies, I still have practicum. So I'm an intern at a counseling center to clock my hours to graduate. And I was still working part-time at that point in time. So I cannot juggle everything. So I said, okay, enough. I got to go. And then the church leadership got news that I left my job. So they approached me to consider working here. And then after praying and seeking, I knew that the season is now. To come on board to serve as in the counseling needs and pastoral needs in this service. So I joined the church on the 2nd of Jan this year. So this is me. But why am I sharing my story? I just want to share because I feel that there's no difference between me standing here and you sitting down. Me standing up here doesn't mean that I'm better, but I just want to share that we are all on a very personal journey with God. And we are just here at this season. So I want to say thank you for having me writing a part of my story. And it is my privilege to have you here. Okay, so shall we get ready for the download from God? Let's pray. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you. Thank you for the work done on the cross, that we can come before you and have our sins forgiven, regardless of how rotten we are within. But Lord, you are still God, and you are always there for us. We thank you for this grace, that it is only because of you that we never could fall down further. But you are the one who will always pull us up at the time in need, at the time of need. So Lord, use me as I prepare and share the word with everyone else. I pray, Lord, that it will all sit well with every single person here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so before I go on, if you are joining us for the first time and for all who are missing bits and pieces here and there, I just want to share that we are on this sermon series, like what Heidi has been sharing, together with the 9 a.m. and the 4:30 service. So I just want to recap. We are on the third sermon of the series. And I just want to do a quick recap that on the first time where we started off, we had Deaconess Bessie sharing with us that Christ is fully God and fully man. How? With the conception of Jesus through the Holy Spirit into Mary's body, and she was given, and he was given birth like a baby, like a child going through birthing. And it was also recorded in the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 1, verse 22 to 23. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And all this took place, it was already shared to the prophet Isaiah about 600 years ago, and now it has come to pass. Last week, we had Reverend Harley sharing with us, Christ overcame the tempter. After being filled with the Holy Spirit, he was led into the wilderness, and at his weakest, with no food nor water for 40 days and 40 nights, he proved to be strong in focusing on God's word and God to overcome the tempter. Amidst everything, he remained sinless and perfect. So today, we're going to look at, if you tread through also together with Christ's age. He was born, and then he went into a wilderness. I don't know how old you think he would be, but history tells us that he's probably about 30-ish. So would you be wondering, what's he been doing since birth till now? Well, I don't have a direct answer, but to me, I feel that God always prepares people. And so he would have gone through a season of preparation in order to fulfill the mission that God gave him. So, he came with a mission, and his coming was actually already being spoken to the prophets. And one key concept that I hope that we can grasp today is to see how Christ fulfilled the prophecies of the Old Testament. Christ came and he fulfilled the prophecies of the Old Testament. And we look first at the reading at Luke chapter 4, verse 14 to 21. Let me read for you. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." The mission of Christ was revealed through the prophet Isaiah about 600 years ago. Christ came and said he is fulfilling them. Let's take a look at what are they. Number one, to proclaim good news to the poor. Two, to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind. And three, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. We shall now take a look at them step by step, one by one, to see what does it mean when Christ came and proclaimed all these things. The mission of to proclaim good news to the poor. Proclaim means to announce, and good news is the news of salvation, and to the poor. And the poor, the word poor here means actually both spiritual and physical. We all know physically people are poor, as you could see in the picture. You know, when people are poor, there's little money. There is a little hope because there's no power and no influence over their lives, over situations. But Jesus said he's here to proclaim good news to the poor. He's here to save them. But what about being spiritually poor? What does it mean to be spiritually poor? I remember when the CEO of Far East Organization, Mr. Philip Ng, when he came to share a few months ago, he shared that his life was very comfortable. He was born with no worries. He was not physically poor, but yet deep down, there is a deep need within him. He still feels a lack, regardless of how much success he has in his business or in his life. What about you? You may have a good career, but you don't feel satisfied. Or you seem to have it all your five C's, your cash, condo, car, country club, credit card. But somehow, regardless of all this physical richness, there's something lacking within you. And that is spiritual blindness, of spiritual poverty. Two, Christ came to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. I don't know if you have had any experience before about being confined in a space. But personally, I once counseled a youth who was released from the girls' home. And she shared with me how it was for her in her first week of confinement. She could not move anywhere. And every day she woke up, she had only a space of four ceramic tiles to sit down. And she cannot move because she was under strict monitoring by the people there. And what can she do over there in that four ceramic tile space? She did everything there. She ate there. She studied there. She yeah, she couldn't even sleep because she's so, there's no space for her. She cannot even talk to the person beside her who was also in the same confinement area because it would mean more punishment for her. And the only time she could leave was to sleep or to take her bio break. We track back to history and think about the prisoners in Isaiah's or Jesus' time. They will probably be a bit more worse off because they are probably chained up. And when you are chained up, you cannot break free regardless of all the struggling that you face. So imagine you yourself being chained up. What would be going through your mind? And how would you be feeling? Frustration, anger, impatience, sadness will build up within us and we can only go down and down and down. But Jesus came. Jesus says he's going to set the prisoners free. The recovery of sight for the blind. I wonder if you have tried dialogue in the dark or dining in the dark. Anybody? No? Okay, so I share with you. I tried both. Yeah. So Dialogue in the Dark is actually a space located in Ngee Ann Poly. Okay, not advertisement, but just telling you where it is. Okay, so Ngee Ann Poly, they have this place called Dialogue in the Dark. And they will have people who will guide who are visually impaired, and they would actually guide you through, and you will go through different stations and experience different things. For example, how to cross the road. You've never crossed your road without your eyes, right? But what about the people who are blind or visually impaired? How would they feel, and how are they going to cross the road? So that journey taught me how difficult it is for the visually impaired. Crossing the road, taking a bus can be so daunting because you cannot see any oncoming traffic. You cannot predict any danger that's coming. Dining in the dark was also very interesting. I cannot even see the chicken chop in front of me. So how do I cut or how do I eat? So a lady who was with me, she gave up on the use of cutlery. She just used her hands and bite on the chicken chop. Simple things, eating, crossing road, but it could mean so much to the blind or visually impaired. So this is physical blindness. But if I were to draw a reference to spiritual blindness, the danger is we cannot see sin coming our way. We cannot see us stepping into sin. We cannot see ourselves we cannot understand how we could feed ourselves from social media, and it corrupts our mind and our body. We step into it without knowing it. And that is spiritual blindness. Oops, sorry. Yeah. Just nice. But the scripture says in 2 Corinthians 4:4, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Don't say that it is because we are not believers, because we are believers and therefore this verse doesn't apply to us. Because as we all know, blindness, right, is a spectrum. We can, for example, some are blind on the one eye, some are, 10%, 20%. But the only way where we could be not blind is when we have Christ in us. When his light shines in within us, and that's where we'll be able to see, we'll be able to know and discern. So when we don't have Christ, our minds are blinded. But Jesus came to give recovery and healing to both physical and spiritually blind. Third, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. The oppressed could mean in today's time, day and time, are minority groups. Our foreign workers in our midst, our the poor in our midst? How do we treat them? The demon-possessed, in the past, there were. Don't think that we don't have today. We still have people who are demon-possessed. Or fears within us. Fear of death. Fear of loneliness. Fear of lacking in finances. Lacking in job. Our grades. We are never good enough. These are fears. And these fears are not of God. And Jesus says he is here to deliver. I don't know if you had certain fears within, but before I received Christ into my life, actually, I was very fearful of death. I was only 20 plus, but I'm already thinking where I'm going after I die and pass on from this world. But when I received Christ into my life, there was a peace that goes on within that I cannot till today understand. So if God were to call me home today, I would say I have no problem because I know where I'm going. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, okay, it's commonly known as the year of Jubilee, the year of the Lord's prayer. And for this, we have to refer back to our Old Testament text. Okay, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, let's look at Leviticus chapter 25, verse 8 to 10. Count off 7 Sabbath years, 7 times 7 years, so that the 7 Sabbath years amount to a period of 49 years. Then the trumpet sounded everywhere on the 10th day of the 7th month. On the Day of Atonement, sound the trumpet throughout your land. Consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you. Each of you is to return to your family property and to your own clan. So, what does it mean? Okay, in the Jewish custom, they work by cycles. So if you know like God, how God rested on the seventh day, he worked for 6 days. He gave similar commandments to the people of Israel to say that then for every 6 years you work, he also believed in working 6 days and then resting on the seventh day. But in another larger ecosystem, right, it's like they will work for 6 years and then the seventh year they will not touch the land, anything. The land will just grow on its own and the people will feed. And what's the significance of this? It is total dependence on God's provision. So 7 cycles of this. So by the time you have 7 cycles of this, 49 years would have passed on. And on the year of, on the 49th year, in the Day of Atonement in the 49th year, the trumpet will be sounded throughout the land and then consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty. That means a full year without anything to do. So which means 1 plus 1, right? 49 is a year without anything, without the need to work. 50th year is another year. And that is, it requires great faith, total dependence on God's provision. So what is the significance to us today with regards to this? So why did Jesus proclaim this?
The
Day of Atonement. Yeah, I would like to share a little bit about what the Day of Atonement means. Okay, the Day of Atonement is commonly known as Yom Kippur, and it's the holiest day when the high priest will enter the Holy of Holies to perform the rituals and atone the sins of all the people. Could you draw a parallel reference to Jesus? Jesus would be the great high priest who will atone the sins of all the people and shall deliver the people from their sins by the ultimate work at the cross and resurrection. So, when Jesus said, "Today, the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing," he was proclaiming that he is now ready and his mission shall take the following forms: through the preaching, proclaiming good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, healing, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. He will deliver every single person. So, wow, Jesus was already proclaiming such great news to people. And so, many have already heard about his power to heal, to preach, and to deliver even the demon-possessed. So, he was gaining so much popularity because he was solid in his teaching of God's word. He could heal the sick, and he could cast out the demons in the demon-possessed. So much so that throngs of people would come to him. If Jesus was physically here today, also teaching, do you think our services would be packed? I hope so. I certainly hope so. Yeah. So, then there was this man who was paralyzed and he could not move at all. And he and his friends must have heard so much about this Jesus, about his healing power, about his deliverance power. And when they knew that he was in town, he wished that he could be there. But he is paralyzed. He can't go. So, his friends decided to put him on a mat and carry him there. Well, we do not know how far they had carried this man, but we would still want to give them credit for carrying a paralyzed man without knowing the outcome, whether he will eventually be healed or not. But guess what? After so much hard work, they carry every single person there. Carry that paralyzed man there. But what? They came, and guess what? They couldn't enter. Can you imagine the disappointment they must have felt? I want to see. I want to go in. I don't know. Have you been to sales or a shopping center or a concert and then you were barred from entering? What's that disappointment? Ah, I can't go in. This was also how they felt. But guess what? They did not give up. And I was thinking, okay, there must be this super brilliant guy in that group of four who had this brilliant idea. How about if we cannot come in by the door, we come in from the roof, lah. Let's go and dig a hole in the roof and put our friend in. And indeed, they did that. I am not an architect, but I am very sure it's not very easy to dig a roof and which is like a live human size to lower the person down. It takes effort to plan, to dig, to think of ways. So can you imagine this amount of effort taken by these four friends just so that one friend could get healed? Well, the story doesn't end here. And as they lowered the mat down, can you imagine with me, the very, very drama kind of setting, right? So Jesus is talking and teaching. Then suddenly, from the top, there's this paralyzed man in front of him. So it's quite a dramatic entrance into where Jesus was teaching. And I was wondering, if I were the man on the mat that's being lowered down, what would I be expecting Jesus to say? Come, heal me, God, heal me. But Jesus didn't say that. Jesus said, when Jesus saw their faith, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven. If I were the paralyzed man, I'm like, no, I don't want. Heal me now. I want to walk now. I don't want my sins to be forgiven. Let's take a pause here, and I want to switch our lens. There's another group of people who was also in the midst of the teaching, also in the midst of the audience where Jesus was teaching. And they were also listening. So they are this group of people called the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. So who are they? They are a group of middle-class businessmen and leaders in the synagogue. So they follow the laws that were given to Moses. And on top of that, they also had other laws to keep them ceremonially clean. So when Jesus declared the sins of the paralyzed man were forgiven, in their mind of checklist of laws, there's 600 laws, 800 laws, they write through, oh, is blasphemy. That he's using God's name in vain. He's not God. How could he forgive the sin of another person? That is totally wrong. What is the problem here? They are learned people. Middle class, businessmen. But they fail to recognize that the promise of the deliverer has been fulfilled. Their faith was dead. And Jesus had wanted to tell them, actually, I am here, the Son of Man. I have the authority to forgive sins. And this is not visible compared to the physical healing of the paralyzed man. It requires faith. So Jesus demonstrated his power to save both physically and spiritually. As the story developed, you will have noticed, he also said to the man, take up your mat and go. And the paralyzed man was healed inside out, both forgiven and able. I'll now invite the worship team to come. Isn't it the same for us today? We tend to look towards the physical. We want results. We want outcome of what we do. And sometimes we even doubt whether our Lord Jesus can do, because we tend to take things into our own hands. But Hebrews 1 tells us now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance of what we do not see. I repeat that again. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. So as I was praying for the congregation, I think God has revealed to me a lot about the state of our faith. Some of us here maybe are like the Pharisees. Their faith is dead. You do not have a relationship with God. In times of trouble, in times of struggle, you turn to yourself, you turn to others, but not God. But today, God has an invitation. Would you come back, my son, my daughter? Similarly, James. This passage talks about when Abraham, when he was asked to offer his one and only son, Isaac, to be sacrificed, he obeyed by faith and did it. The passage says, you see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. Faith and actions, they work together. Would you belong to the group where you have faith but you have no actions? Or you have been on the other side where you have always been doing but you do not see the faith? You don't see the faith. We serve out of the faith we have with God. It is very easy for us to get trapped in the motion of doing. And God is also inviting you this afternoon. Come back, my son, my daughter. Sit at my feet. Some of us here maybe was brought by a friend to come and meet Jesus, just like how the friends of the paralytic man brought him to meet Jesus for the first time. Or you have been away from Jesus and you want to have a renewed faith in him. He is also inviting you to come. Increase your faith in him. We'll let the worship team lead us in a song. And if you need prayer, we are here for you.
Shall we rise?